What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 18th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Adam Bankhurst.
What's up, everybody? Happy to be here.
Adam, we have to talk. So here's what I how you enter my existence.
Yeah.
I start reading and doing Kinda Funny Games Daily. Start reading, period. I learned to read for this
Congratulations.
Show. And I'm doing IGN articles. I'm putting them in there. I start seeing the name Adam Bankhurst pop up. Sure. And then it finally starts dawning on me that I'm asking questions from an Adam Bankhurst in the show. And I'm like, wait a second. This can't be the same Adam Bankhurst. And sure enough, it is.
It is.
You are a true blue Kinda Funny best friend.
True blue Kinda Funny best friend. I mean, all the way back to your Beyond days and before, and been a proud Patreon supporter, been with you. I mean, I tell this story a lot, and you know, not to get too sappy, but you are the reason that I started my journey to games.
Wow.
And that eventually led me to IGN and somehow here. So it's pretty amazing.
So bring me up to speed on that journey. What does that look like for you? Because I want to bring somebody new in here. I want the audience to understand.
Of course. So it all started probably back in, you know, 2010 or something when I had this idea. I'm like, you know what? Because you guys always say, just do it.
Yeah.
Just start doing it. Just start pursuing your dreams. And so I started writing on IGN blogs.
Many people.
I mean,
started.
And I ended up getting like 20 first front page articles on there.
Yeah.
And so started to meet somebody. I actually had a group interview with you at IGN back in the day.
Really?
Jesus,
I don't remember that. Was that for a job?
It was. And then I started a podcast called The Gamer's Advocate and just started doing things that
Adrian Wheeler from Ashland, Missouri, writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you came to be part of the show, and says, what's up, Greg and Adam? It's finally happening. Two of my favorite podcasters on the same episode together. Thanks for making this happen. Quick plug on Adam's behalf. All best friends should go check out Adam's podcast, The Gamer's Advocate. He and his friends are so funny.
Oh, what a good dude.
He has a question later on, but we won't get into that now. So I just wanted, they're out there.
Yeah.
The advocates are advocating.
They are advocating well. I actually met him yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He was at the World Tour yesterday, drove up a couple hours to see it, and we didn't even know we were going to meet, and it was like, fate, I guess.
Yeah, that's how it works.
But yeah, so I did that. I started doing a lot of stuff with Extra Life. We have a convention in Columbus called GDEX, which is a huge game developer thing. So I wanted to just live this world.
Sure.
And so, you know, I applied. Like, I tell the story sometimes, you applied a ton of times, didn't hear back, but don't give up. Like, I just kept going, kept writing, kept doing it. And, you know, unfortunately, my father passed away last year, back in April, and he was one of my biggest supporters and always retweeted me, was always like my biggest fan. And that was early April. And then I got an email from Jonathan Dornbush on April 27th of last year, and during some tough times and everything. And it was like, you know, the doors opened. It was just a dream that we both have had, you know, for everything. And it was like a dream come true. And It's very surreal to be doing all this stuff because you guys have really changed my life and everything, and it's the least I can do to try to give back and really put forth, you know, 5,000,000% back to the industry that has really done so much for me.
Fuck you. It's way too early to be me tearing up on a goddamn holiday Monday.
I know, right? We're going to bring it all for President's Day.
So here's the question I had for you at the meet and greet yesterday then.
Yeah.
So you don't live in SF or LA, but like you're full-time IGN?
I'm on the news team. So okay. I am like freelance.
Do you know Goldfarb?
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, sorry. I know. Unbelievable. So yeah, I work really closely with Goldfarb and Dornbush and Scrabbles, made-up name, dude.
Made-up name. And,
but yeah, I am on the news team with some incredible people like Jesse and Colin, and we just luckily we're able, you know, to work wherever we are. So I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
But I also cover kind of some of the night shifts between Pacific time and Australia and other things. So it's kind of like a full-time gig, but it's I'm able to do it from pretty much wherever I am. So it's pretty awesome.
Sorry to take you away from it today to do the
show. I know,
show.
So rude.
Somebody's got to be looking at your Slack or your Trello or whatever it is you guys use these days.
Well, I wrote one story today, so we're getting there.
All right, well, we'll get there. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today, we're covering the success of Xbox Game Pass, Apex Confusion, and a little bit of that Rainbow Six Siege business. If you didn't know, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Bronze members get to ask questions, give us bad PSN names, submit new questions, topics, all sorts of things, everything they want under the video game sun. Then they can watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Thank you to our Patreon producers for the month. Tom Bach, TJ Meehan, Joe Beezer, Trevor Starkey, Mohammed Mohammed, and Blackjack. Remember, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to be included in March's rundown. This Friday, I'm going to be streaming Anthem after we're done with the screencast.
Fancy, fancy.
Kevin, I put on the calendar, streaming Anthem, parentheses, Kevin, you in, question mark. Kevin, you haven't responded to the calendar that I saw, so I'm asking you now, parentheses, Kevin, you in, question mark. Kevin nodded. He nodded in approval over there, but he did like the cool
Kevin. It was
Kevin
a wonderful nod.
I like that a lot.
Real good. Real good.
And today we're brought to you by Robinhood and Third Love, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. What the fuck is that, Kevin? What the fuck was that?
Oh, man.
Time for some news, but I'm worried about our tired Big Kev dog. How you feeling, bud?
You got this, dude.
A baker's dozen.
I did three. There's three items on the Roper Report.
Oh, man, you really half-assed it today, huh?
Me? I'm worried about you.
I'm tired.
I know. You got it. You said yesterday you had a bad tummy ache, you said, because you were so tired.
It was bad,
And then today you still have the tummy ache.
Yeah. It's less bad, though, okay. Which is, you know, better.
What can I do for you? What can I do? I mean, other than give you a day off, which I didn't
You know, it's going to be one of them short days, right?
Sure.
No, it's not.
Oh, man, what? There's three shows. Big deal.
Are you remembering the wrestling show?
I thought the wrestling show got filmed yesterday was the idea of the wrestling show.
No.
Oh, man, you guys are fucked. Yeah. Your day sucks. Number one on the Roper Report, let's talk about the power of Xbox Game Pass. Tim Biggs over at the Sydney Morning Herald has a great long rundown.
Oh, yeah.
I missed this, but it was Daniel Ahmed on Twitter tweeted out some of the stats about it.
Yeah.
I dug through it, got back to the actual article. I guess it's like 4 days old, so it must have popped, I guess, Friday right after or around, or we just missed it.
Yeah, it was right around there. I mean, there's like, you know, Daniel Ahmed, he's always is putting out some great stats and things. He's a great person to follow.
He falls into the Matt Piscatella category. Yeah, are you not following Daniel Ahmed?
You're missing out.
Fucking fix your life and follow him. Kevin, find me. Oh, here, I'm going to Slack you Daniel's Twitter right now, right? And
Slack,
you throw
Slack
it up behind.
Slack it to control.
Because
it's awesome.
Yeah, hold on. He's just one of the Z huge EX.
Just to be clear, I don't like when we do this because control is too. It's 50% right now. It's going to blind you.
Oh, then just do this. Then put it up in picture.
Gonna
do picture.
I'm
picture.
Gonna, no,
do picture.
Gonna, picture. No, I'm gonna do it because picture.
Anyways, he hit this thing out. He put up a bunch of stats about it. This is the actual big meat part of the article. But again, I urge you to go to the Sydney Morning Herald. Check it out there. This, of course, behind me. Bring it up, Kev, just so they can see it. His name. There it is. There it is. Daniel Ahmed. Probably Ahmed instead of Ahmed. I'm probably mispronouncing. Okay. It. I'm stupid. But Z huge EX. Everybody knows that. Anyways. Let's jump into the middle of this article. In fact, Matt Percy, head of planning for Xbox Game Pass at Microsoft, says players' game time generally increases 20% once they join Game Pass, and the number of different games they play goes up by as much as 40%. Quote, people are drawn to the biggest brands and the stuff they know, but with Game Pass, we're really giving them a wider taste and getting people to follow or look at a wide variety of franchises. People might come for Halo, but then they discover they love Ashen. That's a really good thing for us as a platform. End quote. It can apparently be a good thing for game makers too. Even though at face value you might wonder how getting a slice of a subscription compares financially to getting a cut of a full price game sale. For example, Human Fall Flat is a game that was very successful on PC, but as a physics-based puzzle game, you might expect it wouldn't do well on console. Percy says Game Pass members have played more than 3 million hours of it to date, and 40% of those players had never played any puzzle game before. In cases like this, the financial arrangement made between a game publisher and Microsoft for inclusion in Game Pass, damn it, oh, Andrea Dollar, parentheses, details of which Microsoft does not disclose, end parentheses, could make more business sense than just putting the game on the store and waiting for people to buy it. But there are other potential benefits too. New, big-name games that go into Game Pass see their active player base grow by a factor of 2, Percy says. And older games see an average of 6-time increase, but sometimes as high as 32 times. A bigger player base means a bigger audience for potential monetization. For example, in the past month, Square Enix has added Tomb Raider Definitive Edition and Shadow of the Tomb Raider to Game Pass, meaning the entire rebooted trilogy is now available to members. This will potentially make new fans of the franchise and increase sales of paid add-on content, which is still being rolled out. Percy also says that publishers could use Game Pass as, quote, marketing that's fun for consumers, end quote, by including their back catalog of games ahead of a new release. For example, Bethesda recently made Doom and Rage available in Game Pass ahead of the release of Doom Eternal and Rage 2 in 2019. Quote, on average, we see a 25% increase in franchise pre-orders and a 10% increase in franchise sales coming from games that go into Game Pass, Percy says. And that's coming from Game Pass members discovering they really love franchises and following along with them. Adam, are you ready to say Game Pass is a tremendous success?
Without a doubt.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's they really are, you know, capitalizing on how Fortnite, I mean, we see Apex Legends with 25 million players playing, and they're free to play. I mean, obviously, there's a cost to get into Game Pass, but when you're in there, there's more incentive to try things, to get in there, to become a fan. I mean, and then you see, like, Sea of Thieves had a huge resurgence recently,
right.
And there's streamers that are playing it a ton, and it's been one of, like, the biggest stream games, and then you see, you know, player base go up, and things happen, and that, you know, leads to sales and things like that, and it's such a good way to get into, you know, games and the ecosystem and games you wouldn't normally play, as I said, like these puzzle games and things like that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for something like Human Fall Flat, it's a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
And especially because Human Fall Flat's such a weird one.
Yeah.
Because, full disclosure, we've done a sponsorship
with them
before for it, but it was that thing of like, okay, cool, this is some indie game. And then recently they've been talking about the stats and the units moved on that game, and it's like, holy fucking shit, like people are buying Human Fall Flat left and right.
Right.
And you see, like, this is a great example of why and how it works of, cool, we're a game that's been super successful on the PC.
Right.
We want to bring it over to console, but yeah, console's physics-based platformer.
Yeah,
you know,
of
puzzle
course.
Games aren't the biggest goer. But you put it in here, and it's that buzz, right? Of like, oh, you're going through the, what's new, what is the new game added to Game Pass, right?
Well,
I've heard of this.
Because you guys always talk about how terrible, you know, curation is on PlayStation Store and on Steam and all these things, but Game Pass, you know, it's a smaller section of things. So when you're looking at the new stuff, it's easier to kind of try it instead of saying I have to pay money for it because you kind of are already in the system.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to do it.
And it's interesting to get to this point, I think, in the Game Pass life cycle where when it got pitched, right, when it was put out there, this is what we thought might happen.
Right.
You might see this kind of success, but to actually see people coming out with hard stats now and being able to say, oh, 40%, 20%, you're seeing this thing.
Definitely.
See, you know, the examples or the best case scenarios actually panning out. And that's what's interesting, you know, especially when you talk about the Tomb Raider franchise,
something
that's underperformed, for Square, to put it there and then, hope you can get it on DLC, you can get it on add-on content. That
Definitely.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully get them in for next games and things like that. It's just, it's a good system to hopefully make some new fans. And
you
make
think we'll get another Tomb Raider game?
I mean, I think we will.
And let me get more specific on that question because that sounds stupid on face value. Yeah, there'll be more tumors.
Yeah.
Are we going to get more Camilla Luddington, Crystal Dynamics, or, you know, Square?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the games are, I mean, they're huge games, they're fantastic games, but I feel like they haven't really hit, obviously, as much as people were hoping for. So I could see some kind of reboot or some kind of thing happening, but I don't know. I mean, I think Camilla's done an incredible job and they're great games, but it's just like sometimes you need a spark to a franchise. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but obviously we haven't seen the last of it. But
yeah, Tomb Raider for sure will be back in some way, shape, or form.
Definitely.
I'm fascinated to see after Rise here.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times people kind of like that trilogy feel, the three-game thing, and then maybe take a little break and then have something like, you know, Mass Effect or some of these other things. So we'll kind of see how that goes.
Okay. Game Pass, fascinating, though. And I urge you all to go to that Sydney Morning Herald.
Yeah, it's a great
read the
one.
Entire article, because then it goes from there and it talks to the guys behind Forza, and they're talking about the success they've seen
so
and
good.
How great it is to have that big of a player base to be able to double down on and go from. What was your take? You know, one of the buzz things last week, especially at the end, was how, okay, Crackdown's not reviewed doing well, but is it getting a pass for being a Game Pass game? Do you think, is that part of the strategy with Game Pass?
I think it definitely is, because, you know, when Crackdown reviews come out and you see fours and fives and sixes, I mean, that turns a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But also, since it's on Game Pass, they're like, you know what, maybe I'll try it. Because, you know, a lot of the reviews, while they say, you know, there's issues, it's not the dream that people were hoping for.
Yeah.
People are saying there's still fun to be had,
sure.
So like especially for a few hours to do something. So somebody may want to jump in and try multiplayer and explode buildings for a few times. Then they'll jump into single player and be like, you know what, it's not terrible. I actually kind of like this stuff. And, you know, it feels like a game from back in early 2000s or whatever, but they're still fun to be had. So I think
that's
a great
game that's going to really benefit from Game Pass in terms of the fact that your expectations, if you had, and they're super knocked down. But then, all right, cool, I'll try it. Oh, my God, this is fun.
There's very little cost to actually try it besides a couple hours of your time once you're already in the system. So.
Yeah. Number two, Rainbow Six Siege has detailed some of its new content. This is Oscar Deus over at GameSpot. Rainbow Six Siege is big new Operation Burnt Horizon update is on the way to PS4, Xbox One, and PC soon. And publisher Ubisoft has finally revealed all the details. As revealed during the Six Invitational Year 4 Season 1, we'll bring two new operators, Mozzie, right? That's how you say it, Mozzie,
like
and Gridlock, as well as a new map named Outback.
Steakhouse.
Eat fresh. Gridlock is a 3-armor, 1-speed attacker who comes equipped with 3 Trax Stingers, throwable, expanding spike clusters that slow and damage enemies who walk on them. Think of them as attacking versions of the razor wire that cause damage and make a similar amount of noise. Gridlock is therefore seen as an anti-roaming operator. Her weapons include the F90 assault rifle or the M249 LMG. That means light machine gun. I've played games. As well as the super shorty sawn-off shotgun. Is that how you write sawed? I always thought
sawed-off shotgun.
All right, cause that's just a typo, right?
You know, GameSpot. You know what I mean?
Geez, fucking Oscar credited news over here. We're reading your story next. There better be no typos. Mozzie, meanwhile, is a 2-armor, 2-speed defender who wields 3 deployable pest devices, which will automatically hack and take over any enemy drone that enters a small radius. The drone is then fully under the command of the defending team. A small blue light is the only indicator to attackers that their drone is no longer under their control. Mozzie can use an AR-9 assault rifle or the R-10 Ronnie machine pistol, as well as the same super shorty as Gridlock. That's not even using the right term. Outback is the accompanying Australian-themed map to Operation Burnt Horizon. Its restaurant, hotel, and fuel station form a relatively small L-shaped arena that offers ample opportunity for close-quarters combat. Outback is free for all players, while Gridlock and Mozzie can be unlocked with in-game arena or by buying the Year 4 Pass. Rainbow Six Siege.
Unbelievable.
What are you fucking kidding me?
It's insane.
The game's chucking along and doing so well.
So well. Yeah.
I saw all the, I of course follow this man, Alfredo Diaz, on the internet. You know
good
what I mean?
Dude.
And he was up in Montreal for this event.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And when he was originally tweeting out that he was, or in like putting out what he's hashtagging and all the stuff of the 6-eye SG, I'm like, where the fuck are you going?
Oh,
what
yeah
are you talking about? And then it was finally, oh, it's Rainbow Six. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what a success story that game is.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it started off and, you know, it was fine and people liked it, but Ubisoft just kept pushing forward and adding content and listening to feedback and changing and just doing incredible things. And, you know, they recently released like a whole documentary about some of the top players leading up to this big tournament and things like that. And it's just, it shows like what you can do. I mean, when a game comes out and it's okay, but if you stick with it, especially in this day and age, I mean, you can have something that's a worldwide phenomenon and
right
people love it. I mean, it's just, it's such a cool story to see.
And that's the thing is, I think we give so much credit and deservedly so to Fortnite, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But Rainbow Six, I think for me was the Fortnite phenomenon before it.
Yeah.
Where, because it was, I remember being at IGN and going and playing at E3 or whatever, Rainbow Six Siege, and
right
being so into it.
Oh, yeah.
And then when it dropped, I forget who reviewed it, but being like, it was fine.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's like,
fine.
Then fine. I'm not going to really fuck around with it.
It's good.
Much.
It's a Rainbow Six game. It's
and
good
it
game
felt like that. That was the first game I really feel where it went from, oh, whatever, and it's going to fade off and you forget about it.
Right.
And then, like, you moved the rock one day and it turned out, no. It didn't fade away.
No.
It has a huge, dedicated player base that has been with it forever. And it's something Ubisoft is really good at doing now.
They really are. I mean, see Assassin's Creed, they're not obviously making a new Assassin's Creed game this year, but I mean Odyssey is going to have a ton of content and they just keep supporting it, changing it, adding new things, listening to feedback. I mean, it's they
same
do some
thing
really
with
good
For
stuff.
Honor, right?
Yeah,
another
right
game that I think not people counted out, but was like, whatever, it launched and now it's still
and that's on PlayStation Plus now, so that's going to have a whole nother group of people coming in to try it and stuff like
exactly
that.
Exactly, and then we're right back to the Game Pass argument, right?
Exactly.
The same
yeah
thing
you get
that Rocket League saw in a lot of different ways.
For sure.
But yeah, for people who never tried For Honor to jump in now and be like,
damn, there's a lot
my
of
God,
stuff here.
Oh my God, all this content?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't believe it's happening.
Oh man, it's awesome.
I'm surprised you never, and now we're way too close, but we never saw in the lead up to this, like, division going on there, right?
Yeah,
like,
right
what the actual things is, especially where it's like, oh man, we've drastically changed
what
the division was.
Oh yeah, they did a ton of stuff.
Like, why not throw that out for people to get excited?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wonder especially because of, you know, Rainbow Six, it's because it does have that more competitive PvP tournaments, big things like
mm-hmm
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really caught the eye of a lot of people around the world and stuff, where Division is awesome and it's a good multiplayer game, but it's more for playing with your friends and streaming
sure
and doing stuff like
sure
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but still awesome. Can't wait for Division 2. It's going to be great.
Can't wait. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm like, all right, cool, Anthem, something to play.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, where's the division?
Where's the division?
You know what I mean?
Gotta go to DC, save the world.
Number 3, final story on the Roper Report, was written by you, Adam, at IGN.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just stole it from PC Gamer, and I'd usually go click through to them, but I'm gonna give it to you because you're here. Apex Legend is helping Apex Construct take off. Adam at IGN writes, the huge success of Apex Legends has had an interesting impact on VR title Apex Construct. Similarity in names has caused visits to its Steam page to increase by over 4,000%.
Insane.
Via PC Gamer, Andreas Juliason, what did we say?
Juliason?
Juliason?
Yeah.
Of Apex Construct developer Fast Travel Games took to Reddit to discuss the situation in more detail and how the launch of the free-to-play Battle Royale title Apex Legend, which isn't even on Steam, has affected Apex Construct, which is on Steam and costs $29.99 USD. In addition to the astronomical jump in visits to its page, he mentioned that, quote, "We sold more units of Apex Construct in China the last 7 days than during all of 2018, end quote. He also mentions that while he expects many of these purchases to be refunded once players discover their mistake, quote, "Our books look pretty good at the moment," winky emoji, end quote.
Had to include that.
However, it isn't all good news for Apex Construct, as the title has received a high amount of negative reviews from, quote, "Chinese buyers who feel they have been scammed, even though we have done nothing wrong," end quote. That's a fun slice of life.
It is.
You think about when we talk about games and it is all these things, you don't ever think about the little ripples in the water.
Right, for sure.
Of these guys, yeah.
Yeah, just, especially, and it's interesting because, like, you know, the logos of the two games are kind of similar. I mean, when you're searching for Apex, you see it, maybe you download it or whatever, but it's if you're not so in tune to the gaming world, you hear right. this Apex game and you may be searching, you're like, oh, there it is, it's $30, because they may not realize it's free to play, but it's so funny to see it. I mean, a game that released last year is seeing all this growth, but it also shows the dark side when people realize and they take it out on them when they literally didn't do anything wrong. Like, right.
We've
game,
been here. We were
yeah,
here first.
They were here way before Apex Legends was even it was even announced, so it's funny to see.
Apex Legends is going to be a fascinating one to watch.
Oh yeah,
because obviously it's killing it. It's going crazy. There's, I think it was, they said they've already banned 16,000. It was either 16,000 or 1,600.
Yeah.
16,000 is crazy. That must be what it is. Cheaters and stuff like that.
Right.
But I went to get a pizza on Friday night, and I walked in. I was wearing my PlayStation jacket, and the guy saw me. He's like, "Oh my god, you work at PlayStation?" I'm like, "Nah, just like PlayStation." Like, oh, that's cool. He's like, "You play Red Dead?" I'm like, "No, not really my cup of tea." He's like, "Really?" We talked about that for a second. Then he's like, "Yeah, there's this other game." And then because one of the other guys walked over, was talking to us. He's like, "Yeah, there's this other game. My friend keeps talking about Apex. Apex Legends." And I'm like, "Apex Legends? Yeah, it's totally good from the Titanfall guys. Well, yeah. You should try it." And he's like, "I don't know." And I'm like, "It's free."
Yeah,
like,
really?
What do you mean you don't know? Just download just the game and see. Like, you know what I mean? You're talking about all these other games you like. Like, why wouldn't you take this shot?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Apex, I mean, yeah, I loved the original Titanfall. It was so good, and they really did some good stuff. And, like, it's very bold of them, because there's no Titans, there's no parkour, and they really just, like, decide to go with it. But
you can still vault, which I enjoy.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, there's a little bit of it, yeah, but it's... But yeah, I like the hero classes and the way it works, and it's a really cool addition, and it's great to see the success, because, you know, all these Respawn games, while they're fantastic, sometimes don't sell as well, like, 100%. Right when they're there. So this it's just so great to see.
I kept
it
talking
happen.
About this being like their Spider-Man.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Here's a reintroduction of who we are and why,
like,
we're
look
great.
How awesome we are now. More people can see how awesome we are.
Boston Beer Dude wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Good morning, KFGD host. It was mentioned last week solo and duo modes were uncovered in Apex Legends code." Yeah, there is a VG247 article that you dig down to find, and it was like, yeah, if you dig into the source code, there are references to solo and duo.
Yeah, right.
Far from confirmed, just a heads up, that's what we're talking about. When do you think we'll see these implemented, and how do you think they will work? The game feels catered to three-man squads, so I would love to get your take. Thanks for reading. I just subbed for the first time after following Since Beyond.
Good work.
Honestly, for me, that would be a huge get.
Oh yeah.
I talked a little bit about this on Gamescast and I think probably Games Daily, but like when I had my one day in between Montreal and Vegas, I was like, I got to try Apex every single month. And I jumped in and it was like, oh right, it's three people. Okay, squad up with randoms because nobody else is on.
Yeah.
Mute them immediately because I'm too tired to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And then running around, it is that thing. And I saw other people. I think Chastity from GameSpot tweeting about this of just like, yep, I don't know what I'm doing. Sorry, I feel like I'm dragging every now, but I just need. And like at the end of it, I was like, this is a quality game. This is a very fun game. I'm gonna need to learn this game,
oh, yeah.
And I'm not. I would much prefer to go learn solo rather than hurt other people's experiences. Even on Friday, I jumped into Andy Cortez's birthday stream, and he was like, "Do you want to play Fortnite or do you want to play Apex?" And I was like, "You're gonna have to teach me Apex, so let's just play Fortnite."
Yeah,
I'm like,
for
all right,
sure.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Apex, they're getting ready to release their Battle Pass in March.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be, I mean, it's. I feel like it's going to be have a very similar trajectory to Fortnite where there's going to be limited time modes, skins, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
So I know we're definitely going to see this, and I think we'll probably get a better idea once the Battle Pass comes out and certain things happening, because I've actually heard from a lot of people, because one of the cool things about Apex Legends is their, you know, their pinning system or tagging system where you can, like, you know, tag an enemy or something, so you don't really have to talk to people if you're not familiar with it. But, you know, every once in a while, people like having that lone wolf experience or going solo. or doing things. And yeah, when you're with a team, you sometimes have feel that obligation. So it's a different mindset when you go in and play it.
Yeah, as somebody who I love Titanfall multiplayer.
Oh yeah.
And it, but in me and Alfredo played a ton of it. But I would prefer, yeah, if I could just get out there and do team deathmatch or whatever, and not have to worry about it. And so I'm sure that's coming.
Sure.
This is the thing we talk about with, you know, everything we just said about Ubisoft, right? Apex Legends is going to look dramatically different in 6 months, let alone a year.
It's just the beginning of a long, long journey, and looks like it'll be a successful one. So
yeah, and I think you know, into the question of when we'll see that, I think you'll see it as needed, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to right now.
Right.
Oh, Everybody loves this game.
Make sure it runs well, make sure it's smooth. I mean,
you talk like right now, like, they're, I'm sure, not going to pound their chest about it, but from the early reviews here you're seeing on Anthem's kind of like, it's not great, but like Apex is killing it in the free, so I'm sure that that's going to continue. The Battle Pass will be a huge marketing push for them in terms of here you go.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, when you need another rabbit out of the hat, that's when you come out.
Because, yeah, these companies, they have roadmaps years down the line, so, and obviously things shift and change and as things go, but yeah, they're thinking of all these things, but I think their focus now is, let's make sure it works so people don't get pissed and run away from the game and things like that, so it's good stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam, I'm excited to see what Apex Legends is going to look like here in the next 4 to 5 decades. But that's still so far away. If I wanted something more pertinent, like, say, what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily co-host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Kevin, come on, man. Also, great job. You didn't read the paper.
You
said co-hosts instead of show hosts, but I let it slide. I'm just letting you know.
I got to put my spin on it.
I don't want
them.
There you go. That's my man. Look at that. He knows it. All right. I like that. He knows how to get out of it. Kevin does not like that. He's shaking his head no.
Love you, Kevin.
Out today, Trine 2, the complete story on Switch. Hell Inc. Maybe it's either Hell Inc. Maybe it's Heal Inc. Maybe it's Hell Inc.
There's two L's, so maybe
Hell Inc. Yeah, I know. It's confusing. PC and Mac. Tanks on the Eastern Front on PC.
Ooh.
Snake Bird Primer on PC and Mac. Tetrotron VR on Steam VR, Oculus Rift, Windows Mixed Reality, and then VICCP on PC.
Good list.
Okay, yeah. Monday's usually filled with real gems.
Yeah, really, especially President's Day, too.
I know, right? New dates for you. Sword and Fairy 6 will launch on the PlayStation Store in North America on April 2nd, in Europe and Asia on April 3rd, and a physical limited edition of Sword and Fairy 6 will be available for pre-order through PlayAsia on February 21st. Then, THQ Nordic and Rainbow Studios are celebrating the one-year anniversary of the MX vs. ATV All Out by... Yeah, that's what they said. By releasing a special anniversary edition of the game that includes the most popular DLC. It's going to be available March 12th, 2019. Braveland Trilogy is coming to Switch on March 7th. Then the Elder Scrolls Online today announced that they have a Wrathstone DLC game pack. It's going to come out to PC and Mac on February 25th and PlayStation 4, Xbox One, March 12th. And then Negan from The Walking Dead joins Tekken 7 on February 28th.
Fancy, fancy.
I haven't played Tekken 7.
I have not either.
Yeah, but I feel like Negan, I want to see that.
I know, yeah.
That's a cool addition. You know what I mean?
I feel like he'd fit in that universe or that world, so it'd be cool to see.
Yeah, just beating people in the head with a baseball bat.
I mean, come on. Sells itself.
Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by our sponsors, Robinhood and Third Love. Let's start with Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data, and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Kinda Funny Games Daily a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. Up next, Third Love. Let's talk about bras. Using millions of women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind for an impeccable fit and incredible feel. Why is Third Love so good? The Fit Finder Quiz. Third Love uses data data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for the perfect fit and premium feel. Answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually fun and takes less time. It takes less than a minute to complete. Third Loves helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. But don't take my word for it. Take my wife's. She ordered from Third Love and loves her bra. She told me it doesn't feel cheap like most bras, and it's mostly meant to be worn strapless, but it still came with two sets of straps. Two sets of straps, people! Be like Jen.
Do it.
Third Love knows how a perfect... Third Love knows there is a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games right now to find your perfect-fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. John Foursquare starts us off by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and being part of the show and says, "Hi, Greg and Adam. My question is about Crackdown 3 reviews and more broadly about the state of Xbox first-party games. Do you think that reviewers are going in with a neutral state of mind as they review Xbox exclusives these days? After so many stumbles with game releases, I think I would have the mindset that if it's an Xbox exclusive, it might just be bad. And I'm wondering how that ties into reviews like Crackdown's. Maybe it is a bad game, but maybe there are some preconceived notions playing a part too. Would love to hear your thoughts. Love the podcast you both create. Thanks for the time.
Another listener.
John Foursquare. Another advocate. Advocating for the gamers advocate.
Coming out. Thank you, John.
What do you think?
So I think, you know, it's interesting because obviously when you're reviewing a game, you're taking it with you, your experiences. You're taking with you what you've played, what you've experienced, and, you know, with some of the Xbox games that haven't quite hit maybe what people like, obviously there's going to be a little bit of that preconceived notion. But as far as reviewing a game, you're reviewing the game. I mean, you're not really going to hold it up against another game or up anything else. You're really trying to focus on what the merits are of that particular title.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you can't speak for everyone because there's people reviewing all over the world.
Of course, yeah,
things,
I know, right.
On a general consensus, you know, a good reviewer of someone who's doing it will really take it as it is. But, you know, it's obviously something to bring up maybe in discussions and on podcasts and, you know, on other kind of things surrounding the review where it's another thing for Microsoft, something they have to look at, work on with their exclusives. But as far as the review goes, you know, it should be held to its own standard and not kind of put on that pedestal with these other things that may not have been what people
love. I'm not saying anything away from your question here, John, but I think, yeah, it's a moot point that I think, honestly, the state of Xbox exclusives reflects back more on the Xbox fanboy than it does the reviewers,
exactly.
Right? Where I think Ryan McCaffrey didn't have a rant, but he had a multi-part tweet he put up about this that was like, I don't understand why so many people are mad at our Crackdown review, or me, and it might have even been me, Ryan McCaffrey, saying that it was a mediocre game. Like, you can like a mediocre game. You can have fun in a mediocre game.
100%.
And this is where it gets so, not awkward, but interesting when you have IGN or anybody trying to explore the review scale.
Right?
Because we do fall into this camp, and I say it all the time on this show, right? If it's like, oh man, there's not time for a game that isn't great. There's so many great games. Why would I spend my time on something that is mediocre good? That's Greg Miller talking, not, you know, Kind of Funny's Metacritic review score or whatever. And that's where I think it gets interesting that so many people get caught up in it where I think you're playing Crackdown, and I haven't. I've never played Crackdown. Three. you're a reviewer, you're playing Crackdown, and you're playing yourself. Sure, you know that Xbox has struggled. You know this game has struggled and been announced forever. You get there and you start playing it, and it seems like most people are like, yeah, there's fun moments in it, but it's stale, whatever. It feels like an old game. I think, you know, IGN talked about it being that it was, it feels like something that would have been a launch window, Xbox One,
right,
terms of that. And you can say all that, and I don't think that's your perception of Xbox exclusives coming in there. If anything, I think if you come in knowing everything you know about the industry, and this is me maybe giving too much positivity to everybody, just the Greg Miller method, you come in wanting these games to be great.
Yeah, well, I
every game
everything.
I play, I want to love, and I want to be my game of the year.
Exactly.
And so I'm sure even if you are reviewing State of Decay, Forza, I almost had it. Sea of Thieves.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Crackdown 3. You're in there and you're like, man, I hope this is a win for Microsoft.
Course,
and so it sucks when they aren't. And I'm not saying all those games,
but because, you talk about, you know, the fanboys and that kind of community, because it's such a different world. Because, as reviewers and things, like when we go in to review a game, it's like, we want to like this. I mean, especially when you meet developers and you see people working on stuff and you see what goes into it, especially knowing the industry, you want people to succeed and things to happen. And, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. But, and that's the thing you speak. I mean, I know you've talked about this a million times, but especially with IGN review scale. scale. And when you get like a 7 or 8 or a 6 or something, like that's still good or okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not, doesn't mean the game is like the worst thing in the entire universe, but it's just unfortunately.
And I feel like that, especially as you start falling off of that, right? That's where expectations and your personal biases come in as a player.
100%.
Where it is, though, okay, cool. If it's a game of the year contender and yeah. I want to know everything about the industry, I should play all of these, right. Whether it's my genre or not.
Of course.
But then when you start getting into, yeah, all right, cool, it's below an 8, but it's 6 to 8, right, in that range where it's like, it's all right. I love zombie games, superhero games, right. Whatever. If that falls in there, I still want to play that game and try it, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, especially when you don't have as much time. And like you said, there are a lot of incredible games coming out. So when there's a game that's not reaching those high points, I understand that it's hard for some people to play everything. But there's merit in those games and they're worth trying and not kind of just pushing aside because they didn't make it to the game of the year talk, because there's still a lot of fun to be had.
Sure. And that's what's been awesome to see about. And I think Fallout 76 is a good example of that. But about Crackdown,
right.
The amount of people I've seen on my timeline being, I mean, Christine Steimer from What's Good, right? Being like, I don't know what you people are expecting. Like, it's, yeah, right. It's more Crackdown and I'm getting orbs.
Exactly.
I'm having a great time. You know,
exactly.
I saw Jackie Collins saying stuff to that point too, where it was like, you know what, that is right. And when I'm in that mood for that kind of like just blockbuster experience, right? Or why not? I'll jump in and try.
Yeah, expectations are tough sometimes because when they're not met, then it could be a false expectation. So
exactly.
Is that your fault, their fault, the media's fault? You know, it's a lot.
Fault.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole system's rigged. Isn't that right, Kevin? Yeah. Adrian Wheeler is back from Ashland, Missouri. He has his question here officially now. Anyway, on to my question. Last week at the Nintendo Direct, we learned that Link's Awakening is being remade for the Switch and will come out later this year. When I saw the news, I got excited, but then paused. I've never played that game, so why was I excited for a remake? I'm excited because although I never gave the Zelda games a try when I was younger, this new remake will bring me into the franchise for the first time. On that note, what games would you like to see be remade today that you never got it to play when they came out? It's easy to name old games we loved, but there are lots of games out there that a lot of us didn't get to play for one reason or another. What's a game or series you never got into, but would love if they remade them? It was great to meet you both on Sunday. Thanks. Thank you both for being awesome. And Greg, don't forget, you owe Andrea pizza for losing the Anthem bet, winky emoji. Why'd you bring that up? I didn't read that far into the question. God damn it. Apparently, I was hammered on a Kind of Funny Games Daily. No, I don't know. Andrea and I made a bet apparently on a Games Daily that is Anthem going to get delayed? And she was like, no. And I was like, I'm going to say yes. And we put a pizza party on there. So I owe a pizza party.
Oh, yeah, pizza.
Andrea is in on Thursday for all day filming. I figured we could just do it there to celebrate. Yeah, we all like pizza. Yeah, Barrett, you don't get any pizza. You weren't here when the bet was made.
Poor Barrett.
Hey, whoa! Andrea brings up a good question. It was interesting. I saw Link's Awakening, obviously, like everybody else,
in
Nintendo Direct, and I was like, fuck yeah, can't wait. And I'm in the same boat. I never played the original.
Oh, yeah.
But a remake's exciting because it's on a platform I have. I am a different gamer than I was when it came out on Game Boy or whatever.
Was,
right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
And I always like these kind of things, especially you want to talk about like Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Loved that game.
So good.
So good, right? But I had started Link to the Past on my GBA, but never actually beat it.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things of what I loved about A Link Between Worlds was it was classic Zelda merged with the, you know, I just lost where I was going. Merged with the
like modern style of
the
games
tropes
and
of
tropes,
yeah, exactly.
The modern niceties.
What do you call when you in a remake and it's gonna be, we're gonna do the things with the conveniences of today is what I'm saying. But I'll get there with the word I was actually trying to get to. But yeah, exactly. Is that it? Well, okay, cool. This is classic Zelda, but they're putting so much into it that I of what I love about games today.
Yeah, and I'll give you kind of an answer to Adrian's question as well as to you, where the series that I didn't get into when I was growing up, because when I was growing up, I was a little more of a baby. So this is a Resident Evil series. And, you know, so I'm kind of having my dream come true lately.
I was going to say, fuck you. You get those
all
the time.
I know, I started on Resident Evil 4. That was like my first game. And I'm like, man, this game is incredible. But I never played the older ones. So I played Resident Evil 7 on VR, which was one of the best things ever. I mean, that thing is incredible. And then Resident Evil 2, it just came out. And, you know, that game is pretty much a remake of, and keeping a lot of the same, obviously, you know, story beats and the game itself, but it's reimagined for today's standards. And I think it makes it hold up so well, and it looks great, and it's scary, and Mr. X is insane. And they really kind of took in what is awesome in games today, but made sure to keep the, you know, the heart and soul of what it was that made it so great back then.
Sure.
It's just, it's awesome to see that.
The one I'm going to throw out there is I'm a bit ashamed. I should have been all over this game. The series never were, was. I think I rented it from Blockbuster. Legacy of Kain.
Oh, man. So good.
Right? Legacy
That's
of Kain.
That's a great one.
And, you know, like, because it's Amy, right?
Amy Hennig.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And it's like, I missed all of those.
Yeah.
So to see them come with quality of life improvements
yes,
is what
definitely.
I was looking for.
Yeah,
for
yeah, yeah.
And I was desperately falling into a pit of not being able to think on a Monday morning. I would love to see that again.
Man,
and like
I would
have them
that.
Really take a shot at that series. And
I
bring
feel like
it
it's still kind of unique and kind of its gameplay and things. I loved those titles.
Kevin, weren't you a big Legacy of Kain fan?
Yeah. Soul Reaver, right?
Yeah.
They're great.
Okay, thanks, Kev.
Like I've said I wanted a remake of those for years.
Have you?
Yeah.
I was just expecting like a woo or something when I said it.
Fucking
you know?
Listening, Barrett.
God, Barrett, you're such a fake fan.
Stop touching me.
Oh. Oh dear.
And we're off the rails. We're off the rails today. Yeah, I think that'd be a good one. And just especially because that's a franchise that has that buzz around it of people remember it. And if you came back and splashed on a screen, people would flip out.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there'd be so many kids who are like, I don't understand what that is. But I understand that it's a big deal.
Right, right. Yeah. And I also just have to say this while we're on here, but the original Mass Effect and Mass Effect trilogy and stuff. Right. Come on.
I mean, yeah, they should just put them all on one disc
exactly.
or whatever. Put them
come
all
on.
But come on. It's not that far. That's
know,
not that far.
I just love it so much, though.
What did you think of Andromeda?
Yeah, so it's funny. I played it a little bit, and it just didn't, you know, live up to what I was hoping for, and I didn't really get to it. But they released an Xbox One X enhancement recently, and I jumped back in, and the game's very pretty, and it's, you know, it's really not that bad. It's pretty good.
No, totally. I mean, it got
it did.
Sunk
it,
by having a bad
once again
because
that was held up to the trilogy, which is some of people's favorite things ever. So, you know, when it doesn't live up to certain things, people treat it like it's terrible, which it's not.
It's that thing where I was after getting into Discovery, Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, man, I'm jonesing for it. Maybe I'll get in there. And then it was like, I'm so close to, I was on the road. Now I'm back. I'm like, I'm close to Anthem.
Right.
Now Anthem's not that good. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know.
Maybe tough life.
I mean, then Tetris 99.
Oh.
What else is there to do?
Seriously, that's all you
Thank
need.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah,
Thank you.
So good.
Gilly Brums writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hi, Greg and Adam.
Hello.
My question today is simple. Do you think post-apocalyptic games are soon to be oversaturating the market? I think of interesting developments each game in the genre has added, like Fallout and your constant need to monitor your radiation exposure, or the vehicle combat from the recent Mad Max game. But is there a point where survival gameplay can't get players out of bed? Thanks for all you guys do. Gilly Brums, parentheses, BTW, pronounced hard G. My real name is Gil, like a fish. Brum it.
Gilly Brums.
Tim pronounced it Hilly Brums last week, shaking my head. So it's Gilly Brums. Got it. Gilly Brums.
I mean, I think you nailed
Gilly.
It first.
Then. I think I did too, but then he said it, so now I'm just doubting myself. You know what I mean?
Gilly.
You're doing great, man.
Adam, I feel like since I started in the industry,
right,
zombie games are played out. Post-apocalyptic games are played out. Are they ever going to be played out?
I think there's a certain sect of these games that are played out. There's a certain sect of, you know, the cash grabs and the ones that don't put too much thought into it. That like, hey, zombies sell, let's try and do that.
Yeah.
Where that's always going to be. But, you know, you see obviously a game like Last of Us where it's a very different take on it. And it's more about the story and the characters where it's not so much about like you're trying to survive out in a world. I think there's always a place because it's fascinating. It's like the what if. I mean, what would we do in these situations, these impossible situations, and how would we survive? And I think there's always a place to explore that idea and that realm. But, you know, yeah, if you do like the simple tropes of, low ammo and zombies and they're mindless and the AI is terrible. And I mean, that kind of stuff obviously is crazy. But I think in that there's so much room to explore that universe that I think if people get creative, there's a lot they can do with it.
Yeah. And I think it's always hard to separate. Is it that the zombie or post-apocalyptic game is played out, or is it that the game we're talking about is just not that good?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right, because I think what you're saying is it always is an interesting setting.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you can come to it with something new, people are going to be involved.
Yeah.
I think right now the really interesting game up to bat is Days Gone.
Of course.
Where Days Gone got announced, they showed the trailers, and it's Sony Bend, so I'm interested, obviously.
Definitely.
Sam Witwer, I'm interested. And what I saw looked okay, but then it was like, is it just running around mindlessly killing zombies? What is this? And then playing it at E3, I was like, oh, you know, fuck, like, there's something here.
Yeah.
This is a world I'd like to explore and
Definitely.
Go do stuff. I'm ready to get more hands-on time with it, get really deep with it. But it's going to be so interesting to see, number one, is it that you have to play it? Is it that just I love zombies so much, right? And I love that world so much. Is it people who are outside of that going to be interested in that? Are you going to be able to get people who aren't already like, this is checking so many boxes for me that of course I'm lining up to be like, okay, I'm interested to see what it's about.
Definitely.
But like, is it going to be able to break out? How is it going to review? What? How is it going to sell? And then that'll be the real test, I think, in a lot of ways of like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's
going
to be very interesting to see. I'm, I mean, I'm hoping for the best for it and hope it can really stand out and has good characters and things. Cause it's, I like the concept and the idea of roaming the world with a motorcycle and upgrading and kind of doing that. So it's, I'm excited.
And that's the thing, right? I think the lukewarm reception of Days Gone was based on the fact that it just looks like I'm shooting a horde of zombies.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the cool World War Z massive hordes and things, but the question is, how deep is that gameplay? Yep. Is it going to be something where you get into it and it's just the same thing over and over again, fetch quests, the stuff, or do they have interesting side missions and have things that really draw you into that world and make you want to know what the heck happened to this place?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I can't wait. Definitely. It's coming up quick.
It is.
April, right around the corner. And that's it for questions. It's time to squad up! This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today is one of my favorites of all time, all right? Insano writes in, needing help on PC/Origin. Their name on PC/Origin is Insano Was Taken.
That is brilliant.
That's very good. They spell Insano, I-N-S-A-Y-N-O. Insano Was Taken. And why does Insano need help on Origin? Playing with randos sucks. We all know it. That is correct.
Simple pitch.
It does.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy to understand.
I assume this is an Anthem request. Yeah. We're putting Origin in there.
I would say so.
Like Kevin, what's up? You got something to chime in there?
Yeah, PC gaming sucks.
It's true. It's true. But we need it. We need it now more than ever as we get closer and closer to tax day. April 15th. I understand. Everybody's up there. They're updating their drivers. They're putting new video cards in. Got to see what TurboTax 19's got for them.
It's got to be extra turbo.
Exactly.
Man.
It's got to be extra turbo. time for You're Wrong. And unless something's wrong, we've pitched a perfect game.
Can't be.
No one's in. And that's the thing. No one's in here doing some of the shit I hate. And I'm not saying do the shit I hate. I'm just saying you're not in here being like, well, actually, Greg said this joke, but it actually means that. I can't believe it. But that's what's happening. I know. Yeah, exactly. Kevin knows.
There's no way.
I mean, what? We pitched a perfect game. It's happened
but
before.
But like that. Has it happened before?
Yeah, it's happened before.
No, it's never happened before.
I mean,
you, like, pronounce the
what
name
could we
wrong.
Screw up? You know what I mean? That was the thing. We talked. I mean, these were like.
I knew with three stories. I mean, you half-assed it, so.
What do you mean I have? I can't manufacture the news, Kevin.
But he can.
That's true. That's true. You could have written some stuff.
I'll write one right now. Hold on.
I'll tell you whatever.
Just
it was one of those.
Ooh, can you write one about having a perfect.
Dude,
yeah.
It was one of those. We had a moment of the snake eating its own tail today. Where it was like, reset era, rumor, like, you know, major franchise coming back from Nintendo. I was like, fuck, and I click on it, and it's fucking Imran and Tim talking on Games Daily on Thursday. I'm like, God damn it. Like, I can't news the thing we newsed.
Yeah, really. Just cut in that segment.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. We did it, Kev. You know what I mean? Drop the balloons.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Well done.
Adam, you killed it.
Well, thank you.
Where can people keep up with you?
So they can follow me on Twitter at Adam Bankhurst. They could obviously listen to Gamers Advocate that we talked about before. And I also run a business podcast called Grow Like a Pro.
Oh, nice.
I'm also on the board of GDEX, which I mentioned earlier in Columbus, which is a big, it's kind of like GDC and trying to really make Columbus more of a big game developer place and a little small Silicon Valley type thing. So
that's awesome.
There's a lot of good stuff. And obviously read my articles on IGN and interact. And it's just, there's nothing better than, you know, interacting with the community and being able to come out and meet everybody and do this whole thing. It really is a dream come true every day, so I'm just forever grateful.
Well, you crush it. You're welcome here anytime. You know that.
I really appreciate it, man.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And listen on podcast services around the globe. Here's the host rundown for the week. Tuesday, me and Andrea. Wednesday, me and Witta. Thursday, me and Andrea. Friday, me and Tim. That's right. First week I'm here in 2019 that I'm here an entire week.
Pretty awesome.
I'm very excited to work with Barrett for an entire week and see what he's all about.
Go Barrett.
Barrett, you want to go to lunch at some point? Just you and me. Just you and me. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Doesn't seem like TBD. Are, you know? Check the schedule.
I'm kind of your boss. Oh, bye!